Hey folks, Matt Richards here. Welcome to the Complete Marketer Podcast 2.0, where we talk all things social media marketing, we talk about content marketing, we talk about building a business on social media, but we cut out all the nonsense and we give people a real honest outlook on exactly what it takes, what people should be looking to implement, and a lot of the pitfalls as well. So first and foremost, I want to thank everybody who tuned into the first episode last week of the relaunch. It was a massive success. Tons and tons of people from all over the world plugged into our episode and really enjoyed it, which was fantastic. So just want to say I appreciate you. Like I said, I'm going to be bringing these episodes back now every single week. They're going to be uncut. You know, I'm going to be as raw as I possibly can. There might be some mistakes in this video. We'll have to wait and see. We see how we get on, see how good my mind's working today. And ultimately, I just want to give people a real honest insight into what it's like to build a business on the internet, but more importantly, you know, how to get things right as well. So in particular today, we're going to talk about content marketing, because content is something now that's fairly obviously taking over the planet, you know, like in terms of reels, short videos, posts. Like, I think it's absolutely insane. Over the last 2 years, and maybe COVID's got a thing to play in this. I mean, a ton of people at home started doing things like TikToks and stuff. People who wouldn't normally do videos started doing videos. They obviously then start a chain of events of other people who copy them and do the same sort of thing. And I think we're in a position now where the world revolves around content. You know, a lot of people these days are face down in their phones consuming content. So what does this mean for business? I don't know. Traditionally, I think a lot of people are becoming aware that they need a social media presence. But also as well, when you look at things like advertising, like why would you advertise, like for example, like on a tube station, if you're on a train, like or whatever, and there's usually like posters and stuff on the wall, is there really value in that anymore? You know, do people even read posts and stuff anymore? Every single person I seem to see is face down in their phone, right? And you guys can let me know in the comments if it's similar to where, you know, where you're listening from. Obviously, we get a ton of people from all over the world listening to this podcast. But me in particular, I see people just face down in their phone constantly. So to me, it's all revolving around content. You know, and to me, content has to fall into one or two categories to be successful. It has to either be entertaining or educational. You know, if you think about it, when you look on the internet, you're either watching like cats playing guitars or whatever crazy entertaining stuff people are doing now, or people are throwing themselves off the buildings into baths of jelly and all this crazy stuff you see on YouTube and on shorts. Or people are genuinely trying to teach people other stuff. You know, people like me, or people that are, I've even seen people like painters and decorators, you know, builders, you know, tradesmen who are teaching people how to do different things inside of their life and DIY, etc. So entertainment or education has to be the way forward. So you've got to think to yourself, first and foremost, if you're listening to this podcast and you're struggling to stand out and you're struggling to sort of create content that people are interested in, the first thing you got to think about is when people go onto social media, they're not really interested in people, they're interested in content, you know, and people are only interested in people if they've got good content or they've already got the influence. See, that's a big thing really that people need to remember is social media is not like this God-given right for you to build a business. You know, you can't just come on here and expect people to buy your stuff. It doesn't matter how good it is. And do people really buy based on quality these days? I don't know. McDonald's is the fastest growing food chain in the world. So like, well, definitely one of. So you can say take what you want from that. Basically, what I'm saying is I don't think it's extremely high quality. I don't know if you guys do either. Milkshakes are pretty good, but apart from that, the rest of it's kind of diabolical and you just accept it, right? Apart from the new McCrispy. The new McCrispy is okay, and the McSpice is good if you don't mind a bit of spice, but at the same time, let's face it, it's not like a five-star meal, is it? It's not like a fantastic Miller and Carter burger or whatever. So it's not on the same level. So, but again, kind of shows quality is not everything. Like I said, one of the fastest growing food chains in the world with average food, you know? So it's all about understanding what people want, you know? And this is something that goes back years ago when I remember reading a quote from Henry Ford, the guy who created the first affordable car for many. If I would have asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. You know, so back the time he's there inventing the first affordable car for everyday use, he said if you'd have asked his audience what they wanted, they would have said faster horses, because obviously there was all riding horseback back then. So to me, it's not even about asking your audience what they want, because you might not even have that luxury. It's not even about understanding entirely up front what it is exactly what you want to help people with. But to me, it's about understanding what you're passionate about and what you enjoy. That is where everything starts. The reason why I talk about marketing and content all the time is because I'm passionate about this stuff. I love it. So a big part of understanding if your social media is going to work for you or not is thinking, am I working within parameters of my passions and what I enjoy? You know, because if you're not, then it's going to be very difficult for you to stay consistent. You know, so it's not just like picking an audience that you think you can make the most amount of money from. It's not just picking an audience because somebody else on your Facebook is using that audience and they've done well. it's about picking an audience that you really want to serve. You know, people that you want to see do well. I mean, like I said in previous trainings, episodes, and all the good stuff that I promote online, you know, social media is the reason that I changed my life. You know, by giving me a voice. I came into this industry as a recovering drug addict. I started to produce content and go into personal development and stuff and read books because it stopped me taking drugs. And I went on to help a bunch of people all over the world to build businesses and make money. So it's something that I discovered was a passion over a period of time. But once I realized it was like something I really wanted to stay committed to. So definitely chase your passion and don't just create content because somebody else is doing it. But what I've written down here today is five sort of questions or things that you want to ask yourself if your content is missing the mark. You know, if your content isn't quite where you want it to be, then to me, it's really important that you have a think about these five questions and you think about, you know, applying these into your business for sure, but at the very least brainstorming on these and thinking, am I really sort of hitting the mark here? So the first question I've got is, what is my audience thinking at this point? You know, so a lot of people create content, but they're not always thinking about the point in which their audience is at. So for example, if I've got somebody who is a seasoned follower, who's been with me for years, and they've read every single email, they're not going to respond the same as somebody who is just landing on my page for the very first time. So you've got to be aware of that. See, a big mistake I see a lot of people make on social media is they talk a lot about themselves, like how amazing they think they are, their achievements, their life, and how fantastic they are. If people don't care about you, they probably don't care about your life either. And if you've got somebody that sort of follows you every single day and they think you're awesome, they might like that. But if you've got somebody who's landing on your page for the first time, they're like, who is this person? Why should I care about what they've done with their life? You know, so it's such a gray area. So I think like a big thing you got to think about is when you're producing that content online, what's the actual frame of mind of the people that are going to potentially going to see it? You know, for example, on my YouTube, like with podcasts, I'm a little bit more relaxed because I'm like, yeah, this is something that's going to be enjoyed whilst making a cup of tea, whilst cleaning the house up, whilst driving to a destination, whilst people are commuting, whilst people are back and forth or doing things with a set of headphones, maybe lying in bed. I don't know what you're doing. You guys are going to have to let me know in the comment section what you're doing right now listening to this podcast. I'd really appreciate that. You know, but the point I'm trying to make is it's a lot more relaxed. Whereas my YouTube channel, people are going to be searching for phrases and they're going to want to know something up front. So if I label something like five ways to sort of promote your business on Facebook, let's say somebody's searching for a really effective way to build a business on Facebook, they're going to search for that. And my video needs to be on point. And I need to understand that that person could be cold traffic. That person could be seeing me for the first time. So I need to get to the point. I need to make sure I'm there straight away. I need to make sure I'm giving these points and these tips and I'm giving this person what they expected because they've searched for a term. They're expecting to find that, you know, and that's the difference between YouTube and Facebook. Facebook people are scrolling and grazing and just sort of looking around. They're on Facebook because they're bored. If people are on YouTube and they're searching, they're actually looking for something. So my content from YouTube and Facebook has to be very different. You know, people think like, oh, one size fits all, just create one piece of content, share it everywhere. It's a very lazy way of marketing. You know, I mean, like people on LinkedIn are not going to respond the same as people on Facebook. People on Facebook are not going to respond the same as people on Instagram. So you've got to really sit down and think to yourself, where are my audience at right now? You know, if I want to sort of create like a really tight-knit community where people, you know, are more interested in me as a person and I can build that sort of influence, then I probably want to take it away from a newsfeed. You know, I want to create like a group. I want to create a community. I want to create a forum. I want to create like an email list. I want to create something that takes people away from the noisy newsfeed that they're used to. So like a big thing in marketing and successful marketing is to understand where your audience is at. And I mean that in mentally. I don't mean it as in like, where are they? What groups are they in? Obviously, all of that stuff plays a part. But where are they mentally? You know, if you're going to keep throwing offers out there, that's okay if you've got a list of people that are ready to buy. If you don't have a list of people that are ready to buy and they're just looking to graze upon your content or just found you for the very first time, they're going to be irritated by you very quickly. You know, they're not going to want to read what you're posting anymore. They're not going to be interested in the stuff you're putting out there because they're like, well, I'm not ready to buy yet. You know, the truth is, like in anybody's market, that most people only have like 5% read up buy leads ready to go. 95% of the people that follow most individuals are either grazing or just looking around or have just stumbled across this person for the first time. You know, you have real hardcore followers that are ready to buy right now is a very small percentage. So you could say like 5% of people are ready to buy right now. 30 or 40% of people are just ready to sort of like graze upon your content, just looking around things, maybe watching YouTube's podcasts, whatever it is that you're doing. And then a large percentage of people probably maybe aren't really interested in what you do yet, or aren't really interested in you. They're just connected with you in some way, shape or form. I mean, like, we've all got people on our Facebook friends that we have no idea how they got there, right? And I've definitely had that myself. You know, I've had these people, I'm like, I have absolutely no idea who you are. Some of these people, I can't even say their names. I'm like, how are we friends on Facebook? I have no idea. It happens, you know, maybe people sell their accounts or whatever. I don't know what happens, but that's the first thing you want to think about, is where your audience is at. The second thing you want to think about is, when you're talking about people's pain points and people's struggles, are you actually really specific enough? Like, are you being specific with what it is that you're speaking about? So you'll see people on the internet, they'll say, I'll help you to make more money. Well, how much money? I mean, for example, like, if you used to say £1,000 to, let's say £1,000 online, like £1,000 to a homeless person's life-changing, obviously. £1,000 to somebody who's struggling is life-changing. £1,000 to Donald Trump is, I don't know, probably he'd use it to pick his nose or something. I don't even think this guy would even know what £1,000 looks like. He's like, £1,000 is so small and minute. Where's the magnifying glass, right? So the point I'm trying to make is it's not always about more. Sometimes it's understanding what people actually want. You know, so for example, like, if somebody said to me, Matt, you can earn an extra £5,000 a month, my question would be, okay, how much time does that actually take? Because I'm not just weighing up the aspect of making more money. I've also got to weigh up the aspect of, what impact does this have on my family? What impact does this have on my life? What impact does this have on my hobbies, the things I enjoy, the things I love doing? So people make decisions and people are consuming content with a lot more to think about than just more, you know? And I see a lot of posts that are like, more this, more that, achieve this, achieve that. You've got to really take time to get specific. Like, yes, help people to make money, but what for? Exactly. So I might say, instead of saying, I'll help you to make £1,000, I might say to somebody, listen, I'll help you to make £1,000 so you can buy that wedding dress that you're worried about paying for in 6 months' time. So if somebody's there and they want to get married, or a bunch of people around me who are sort of potentially looking to get married, let's say I'm a wedding photographer, so I'm going to be surrounded by people who are either interested in getting married or potentially looking at my work. Like, then if I've got a business opportunity or an offer on the side or something that I'm looking to promote or sell, that makes sense then. So I'm talking about the specifics. And I think a lot of people are afraid of being specific because they're worried about what sort of impact this will have on the people that follow them. They're like, oh, what happens if I start talking about this and all the people that don't want to get married all of a sudden follow me? I'm like, again, that's why you've got to be committed to your craft. Like, when I'm here delivering my content today, I'm perfectly aware that there's a bunch of people that aren't going to like this, and that's fine. But if people want the straight talking, cut to the point, chase, you know, and they want to learn about their content marketing strategy from somebody who's built from zero all the way up and openly admits that, then this content, this podcast, this YouTube, wherever you're listening to this today, that's what this is all about. You know, so I think it's really important where you know where you stand, but more importantly, you don't just fall into the trap of keep promising more. Explain the actual benefits. You know, there's a very well-known sort of business lesson about having a hole in the wall. You know, so you'll hear this a lot when people talk about the drill. Like, when people go to the store, let's say for argument's sake, they want to hang some pictures on the wall, like you can see here on the YouTube video. If you're on the podcast, you can't see. But hanging some pictures on the wall. So let's say my wife's gone crazy at me and she's like, wants me to put some pictures up because it'll look nice in the office. Like, I need to worry about where I'm going to find the drill. But I don't really care too much about the drill, and I don't really care too much about the drill bit. All I care about is, can it hang these pictures on the wall? And then it's not even the pictures on the wall that I care about. It's the feeling of like walking into a room that's surrounded by pictures of my family. My wife's obviously going to feel happier, so she's going to feel towards me in a different way. So those are the actual benefits. Those are the reasons why we're looking for a drill. Those are the reasons why we're looking to fix, you know, pictures to the wall. It's not the actual drill. It's not the drill bit. It's not the nail that we're going to knock into the wall. And that's a big mistake that people make with their marketing, is they're constantly trying to talk about what they actually sell instead of the actual big benefits that you know, purchasing what they what people sell or what people are selling out there has, what that could have on their life. So for argument's sake, like, here's how you can make an extra £1,000 a month, could be your course or whatever. Let's say you got a program on how to make an extra £1,000 a month. But like, does that really sort of excite people if they don't know exactly what they're going to spend it on? Or how they're going to actually spend it. So, for example, £1,000 a month might seem appealing to somebody, but it's not the actual money in their bank account that they're looking for. They're not looking for the 1,000. They're not looking for like money to just drop into their account. Like, they might sort of think, okay, let's say I want to pay a bill. They've had this bill that's hanging over their head for sort of months, years. Let's say they've got a £1,000 bill that's ruining their life at the moment in terms of mentally, you know, it's something that's really hanging over them. So the £1,000 isn't really important, but what it does is, like, removing that stress from their life, removing that pain, removing that sort of agony of having that hanging over them. That's going to make them a better partner. That's going to make them a better husband. That's going to make them a better wife. It's going to make them a better child or son or whatever, whoever it is that's had the £1,000, you know, income and they've paid off the bill. It's going to make them a better person. They're going to operate and feel like they haven't got the whole world on their shoulders. They're going to feel a lot more confident moving forward. They're going to wake up every single day with probably a lot more energy, feel a little bit more excited about the day because they haven't got this looming over them. So the £1,000 isn't really important. It's how it makes them feel, what change that has on their life, what impact that has on them as an individual. And I think if you're going to market, you've got to make sure you market to that, not the pain points. The pain points, yes, or £1,000, yes, but you've got to be specific enough so, okay, this actually makes sense. This is something that I can sort of market towards people's real struggles and actually explain a real benefit of it as well and how that's going to change their life moving forward. Third thing I want to say to people as well is when you're sort of producing content consistently, there's something I say to people is, have you poked the bruise enough? Okay, and this sounds really weird. So I'm going to need to explain exactly what that means when I say, have you poked the bruise enough? Because obviously that can be taken in so many different ways. But what I mean by have you poked the bruise enough when it comes to your marketing is, have you ever had one of those bruises on your arm or your legs where you have no idea where it comes from and you don't even know it's there, but you knock it on the wall someday or somebody pokes it or hits it and all of a sudden you're like, damn, it's a big priority now. Where did this bruise come from? You know, and suddenly, you know, I've had my wife say this, like, where did this bruise come from? I'm like, listen, I don't know. I'm not a special investigator either. I'm not even going to find out for you. I have no idea. But it becomes, all of a sudden it becomes a priority. That's what I'm saying to you. You've probably lived with this bruise for like days, maybe a week or something. Didn't even realize it was there. But when it's being poked, all of a sudden now, ow, where did I get that? Where did that come from? All of a sudden now it's a priority. How, where, what, when, you know? So it's the same sort of concept with your marketing. You know, you've got to be in a position where when you're talking about these benefits and you're talking about these pain points and these things in your content, it's really important that you're consistent with them as well. I mean, if you're talking about one thing one day, like one day you're talking about saving time, and then the next day you're talking about saving money, and then the next day you're talking about, you know, mental health, then the next day you're talking about, you know, golfing or fishing. If it's so sporadic and it's not consistent, then you're not poking the bruise enough. You know, if somebody pokes a bruise 3 or 4 times, all of a sudden I'm like, right, I want to fix that. I want to stop that. If you go into the kitchen and you put your hand on the cooker, like if that cooker is on, you can only put your hand there for a period of time before it's painful and you want to move. So people move and people purchase and people invest when they're in positions of pain. You know, if somebody feels frustrated or upset or angry or in pain in some way, shape or form, that's when they're going to take action. That's the only reason I broke my drug addiction. It wasn't because I knew it was wrong. I knew it was fucking wrong the day I did it. I knew it was wrong the day I started. I knew it was wrong every single time I took the drugs. I knew it was wrong every single time I spent hundreds of pounds with my dealer. I knew it was wrong, but it wasn't until I was in so much pain mentally and I started to see the impact it had on my family that I was like, you know what? I've had enough now. I need to change this. And a ton of people tried to change me and a ton of people tried to speak to me about it, but it wasn't until I had enough that things began to change. You know, so again, when it comes to producing content, sometimes you have to understand that there could be a period of time where these people just don't take action. And it doesn't always mean it's a reflection on your content. It doesn't always mean it's a reflection on you. Sometimes that person just hasn't got to that level yet where they want to fix. I mean, how many of you are listening in today and you guys let me know in the comments again, how many of you have something in your life you need to fix? It could be at home, it could be DIY based, it could be your fitness, it could be health, it could be your mental health. How many of you have something that you need to fix and you keep saying to yourself, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get better, I'm going to improve, but how many of you are actually doing anything about it? You know, we all have those problems or those things in our life, what we should be doing. You know, like me, for example, it's starting to sort of come up to spring now. So I really should be out in the garden. I love my grass and I love to have a good grass for the kids to play on. Anybody that follows me on Facebook will see pictures of my grass all over the summer. So exciting to follow somebody like me. But I love it. I love the idea of having like a really nice grass for people to play on, the kids to play on, and people to come around and have barbecues and stuff like that. So like I really should be at the moment sort of raking out the moss, you know, putting in the groundwork, but I'm not doing it because I'm so busy with business and stuff. So that's definitely something I should be doing. Now, some people say, well, get a gardener, but that to me defeats the object. I enjoy doing it. It's something I'll always do, you know, unless I end up in some big mansion somewhere. I can't do it. I don't know where my life's going to go. You know, that's, I'm not really excited about stuff like that right now. But, you know, for me in particular, like it's the feeling, it's the emotion attached to that. So again, like I said earlier, if somebody loves something, enjoys something, a lot of time it doesn't really matter what else they could do to make that life easier, better, or change. It's about what they want, you know. And if somebody's in a position where they want to improve something or do something because they enjoy it, then that's when they're more likely to make the decisions. So poking the bruise is a big, big thing. You know, are you producing the content that keeps reminding these people, hey, it's a bit of a problem here? You know, it's like, it's for example, if you've got a big skirting board that's hanging out on your wall, you know, you'd probably leave it there for months. But if you used to start kicking your toe upon it every single time you walk past, at one stage, you're going to be like, fuck, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get some glue, or no nails or whatever. I'm going to glue the skirting board back. Right, so position of pain, consistent pain, is what forces change or makes people want to at least look for potential change. The fourth thing you want to think about is, have you actually stood the test of time? You know, there's a ton of people on the internet that are looking to grab people's attention. There's a ton of people out there that are producing content like me. I mean, I've been producing content for years now. I've had helped hundreds of thousands of people now with different types of content and training and videos and Facebook Lives and all sorts of stuff. But the thing is, like, I'm still a beginner. I'm still quite new to this. There's some people that have been doing this for like 2, 3, 4 times as long as I have, right? So it's you have to understand as well that it's very competitive out there. You know, just because you show up for like a month or two doesn't mean you've got some God-given right to suddenly be successful online. You know, and this is a conversation I had with a client earlier, actually, is I said to them, listen, it's not even about showing up. A lot of people talk about showing up. Most people are showing up these days. Most people are showing up and putting posts on there. Most people are showing up and doing the stories. Most people are showing up and sort of building the audience and building the brand and doing the videos. Most people are doing that stuff these days in business. It's not even about that. It's about being committed enough to what you're actually doing to say to yourself, I'm going to do this regardless. Because a lot of people, if they're not getting the results, will begin to second guess themselves, hate on themselves, begin to lack in motivation to keep showing up, might not want to keep showing up. And that to me is where you got to marry the process. Like, even if like my videos like got cut in half, let's say for argument's sake, I got half the amount of viewers, half the amount of engagement. Obviously, I'd ask myself questions why that's happening in terms of structurally and the quality of content and stuff. I would do that as a marketer. But at the same time, it wouldn't stop me doing the videos. You know, I'm like, okay, well, I'll release the next video and then we'll try and improve. We'll try and get better because I love this stuff. I love producing the content. I love, you know, building a YouTube channel. I love producing content over on Facebook in my group, etc. So you really got to fall in love with what you're doing. And that's why I say the very first point I made about finding a passion, finding something you enjoy, finding a type of people that you want to actually help, that all plays a big part in it. You know, that's the reason why it's kind of like humanitarian work if you think about it. If you think about like charities and stuff, they're committed to helping people without always getting paid for it. And that's what content creation is like. A large majority of it is like a lot of stuff you're going to give away for free, a lot of stuff you're going to give away that you've potentially learned. You know, you've had to pay thousands of pounds to learn or hundreds of hours to study. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. You know, if you don't like that, fucking go and do something else. Because content creation and building a brand, a lot of the work that you're going to have to do is it has to be selfless. You know, you've got to be committed enough. And have you been committed enough for people to actually take you seriously? Because like being into something for like 2 or 3 years, you're still a beginner. Even 10 years in this game, you're still a beginner. You know, so it's like it's embracing that and accepting the fact that there's always something you can do better. There's always something you can improve. Some people are intimidated by that and scared by it. I love it. I think it's fantastic because it keeps me hungry, makes me wanting to grow more, makes me want to get better. Back in my cage fighting days, you know, I would have periods of time of depression after my fights because you'd spend 12 weeks fighting. You'd fight the person, and I won two out of three undefeated. I was undefeated in cage fighting, and 2 out of 3 fights that I had lasted less than a minute. So I trained for 12 weeks, no fight, no drink, no sex, no nothing. Very strict diet. You have to make a certain weight. By the time I got in the cage, I was ready to freaking destroy this person, obviously, because my head was all over the place, and I'd been built ready for fighting. That fight had lasted a minute, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, damn, what next? The next fight wouldn't be booked for a couple of months, you know, whatever. And I'd find myself in a position where I'm like, oh, damn, what next? You know, I almost felt like I'd achieved what it is that I'd set out to achieve. But in business, it's like there's always something more. Like if you can get 10 followers, you can get 20. If you get 20 followers, you can get 30. If you can help one person, you can help 5. If you can take on one client, you can take on 5 clients. You know, so there's always ability to scale. There's always the ability to grow, but you've got to fall in love with what you do. Otherwise, it just becomes like laborious and stressful and unenjoyable. And the last thing that you sort of I want to sort of make apparent here is, are you actually open to improving as an individual? I mean, one thing that I will say to people is like, a lot of people these days hold on to their money in terms of investing it. And this isn't like going to turn into like a you must buy my coaching type of stuff. But you've got to make investments in the right areas. I mean, one thing me and my wife have done this year and we've been really strict on is when we're faced with the option of luxury or something that's going to improve our actual day-to-day life, we're going to opt for the day-to-day life. So first thing we did was invest in office space this year. Does that cost money? Does that cut into our profits? Of course it does. You know, is that something everybody should do? I don't know. It depends on your financial state at the moment. But for us, it was like, you know, it was money that we put aside every single month. Like, will we make more? 100%. But it wasn't about that. It was about taking the business out of our life in terms of our home space. We've worked from home for the best part of 10 years, taking the business away from our kids because they're homeschooled. I don't want my kids to grow up around like business and, you know, all that. They've got plenty of time for that when they're older. You know, kids should be enjoying themselves, having fun. Should be, you know, around stressful business stuff, you know? So I invested in something to make our life a bit easier. Next thing will be cleaner. Like why, if it's going to make our life easier, if we've got an option between like eating meals out, taking pictures and putting them on Facebook and say, hey, look at us eating in a fancy restaurant, or putting that money towards a cleaner, we're going to pick the cleaner because the cleaner is going to free up a lot of time. A lot of shit we would have to do, we don't have to do anymore. You know, and making investments in your life and your business to me is what makes things easier. You know, and I'm not saying you should do that because listen, if you love your makeup, your handbags and whatever else that people spend a lot of money on these days and cars and stuff, like fair enough. But to me, you should always be looking to make investments to make your life easier. And that does have a direct impact on your content and your marketing as well, because if you've got more free time, you got more flexibility, you got more time to put into the strategies and skills that you're going to need to build your business. You got more time to make sure your content's correct. You got more time to actually sit down and write things properly, you know, actually sit down and work on your copywriting and improve things. A lot of people are opting for AI these days. I think that's insane. Like, I think you should personally be really putting the time, money, and effort into improving your own copywriting, not relying on some fucking machine to do it for you, because that machine is going to have to continue to do that time and time and time and time again. You know, whereas if you learn yourself, that skill is going to stick with you for the rest of your life. And I can teach that my kids, my grandkids, they can grow up and learn how to make money on the internet. It's obviously going to be very different for them when they grow up. But if I've got the skills, I can pass them on. And that's pretty much it for today, really. I just wanted to sort of give people an insight into a lot of different questions and things to think about when you're marketing and building your brand on the internet. It's not always a straight line. As you've seen here, it's not always as simple as having something amazing and whack it online, expecting people to pay for it. There's a lot to think about outside of business, a lot to think about in terms of your branding. There's a lot to think about in terms of positioning and the mindset of the people that are consuming your content. So obviously, we're going to continue to cover this over the next few weeks consistently on this podcast. So, you know, if you'd like to plug into more training in regards to content marketing strategy, you know, the mindset that goes alongside with building an online business, not just in terms of like being committed and confident, but also understanding the mindset and mentality of your potential prospects and everything that goes with that, the upside and downside of business and creating content, you know, the hitting the brick walls, being ignored, not hitting the mark where you want to be, all those sort of things, then definitely look to subscribe to this channel over the next few weeks. But just want to say thanks for listening to today's episode. If you did enjoy this, let me know in the comment section if you enjoyed this and you took something away from this. If you would like to sort of go and check out this video over on YouTube, go and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Also come and join my Facebook group. I'll put the links for that in the description of this, whether you're listening on the podcast or the YouTube channel. The links in the description will be there for you to plug into. But thanks to everybody. Thanks everybody listening to this today. Let me know in the comment section if you enjoyed this, and also feel free to share this episode with other people that you think could benefit. Take care, and I'll catch you all very soon on the next episode. Bye-bye.